service. My name, for those of you, if you're new or maybe you're traveling in, my name is Tim. I'm the youth pastor here at the church. And on behalf of all of the church staff and the pastors here at Only Believe, I just want to say welcome. We're so honored that you are here with us tonight for this service where we get to just worship, remember, praise the Savior who loved us enough that he became one of us. He wrapped himself in human flesh and he came and made his dwelling among us so that he could lead us into eternal life with the Father again. And we're just excited that you're here. We're going to have a great service tonight. Our goal is that this service feels like you've just went home to visit your family. So we're looking for very just comfortable, relaxed, loving environments. So whatever makes you feel most comfortable as we go throughout the service, feel free to do that. We're going to sing in a little bit. If you love standing as we sing, feel free to. If you want to sit as we sing, feel free to. We just want you to be comfortable. Welcome home. We're also going to be taking communion, and there will be a portion of our service where we will be singing to candlelight. So if you did not grab it, there was communion and candles on your way in. We are politely asking that children under the age of 10 use the battery-operated candles for everyone's safety. And then if you're 10 or older, you're more than welcome to use the regular candles as well. And then communion is also available. So if you need that, feel free to go and grab that at this time. We're going to begin our service tonight by singing some Christmas carols together. And we do want you to sing with us and to participate in that. Again, you can stand if you want to. You can sit if you want to. But please join with us as we worship our Savior.
Shepherd. the gifts, the lights, and the tree. It means something to Christians because it's a symbol of everything that you and I believe in. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone, young, old, rich, and poor, no matter your race, no matter your status, no matter what side of the tracks you grew up on, whether you're male or female, everyone. He did it for everyone in this world. No matter what sin you've done, whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save it through him. Unto us a Savior is born, and the Son of God was given." John 1:19 says, "The one who is the true light, who gives this light to everyone, was coming into the world." See, our spiritual illumination has come. The one who will light the way to our God, the one who will light our way towards our heavenly home, came. We no longer have to live a life of darkness or wandering in the dark. Further on in John, the 14th verse, it says, "So the Word became human, made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." See, God made him human like you and I so that we would understand how to live this life. He wrapped him in human flesh and showed us the light. Tonight, I want to read out of Matthew, the second chapter. This will be our story that we tell tonight. It comes, and it's highlighted in my Bible, as visitors from the east. It says, "Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men..." This just simply means these were Persian men who liked to read certain signs. They were seen as brilliant men, and they interpreted spiritual things. It says, "From the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, 'Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him.' King Herod was deeply disturbed, and when he had heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, 'Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?' 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they said, 'for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he had learned from them that the time when the star first appeared, and he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too.' After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star, the supernatural display from God they had seen in the east, guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy, and they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod." Tonight I brought out the wise men's story because it's a lot like yours and ours. See, God made a light to shine or a star for them to see. They believed in the prophecies of the prophets foretelling that this king or this ruler would come and would shepherd his people, and that they would be free from the awful rulers that had ruled over them. They followed this light, a supernatural display given by God for his provision. See, because he was leading them to Bethlehem, which meant the house of bread, where Jesus would later in his life say that I am the bread of life. I am the essential to what you need every single day. Depend on me every day, like you open your cabinet for a piece of bread, because without it, you will not be sustained. He knew that it was a necessity for man in our darkened state, and without a light, the wise men would have never been able to find their way in the darkened world. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Let the light shine out of the darkness,'" way back in Genesis, that's what it's talking about, "made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." See, God sent Jesus so that you and I would know exactly what he looked like. Everybody had these ideas of who God was, his wrath, his judgment. But when he sent Jesus, he proved all those thoughts wrong. And he showed mercy, and he showed grace, and he showed love. And what better than to bring it in the form of a baby? A baby. See, we see this light like the wise men. The wise men fell down and they worshiped him and they honored him with their lives. This is also a part of our journey. See, we've been shown a great light by God through his son Jesus. And if we believe like the wise men, it would behoove us to believe in this supernatural display through Jesus that came as a baby, wrapped in clothes, in cloth, snugged real tight. Because trust me, babies wake themselves up if they're not snugged tight. Mary knew this very well. And laid him in a manger in a town called Bethlehem. If you didn't believe in God, and if you didn't believe in Jesus, you wouldn't be here tonight. But like the wise men, we need to be wise men and women of today's world. We need to not just see this light and to believe in it, but you and I need to follow the light. See, we've traveled, but not quite as far. We've come to church tonight to see this display of God's goodness and his mercy to you and I. And we've come to honor him and to worship him. How do we do that? How, when we're just regular people, how do we give a gift to a king? How do we honor him and worship him like the wise men? With our lives. With our lives. See, the way you and I live our lives, the way we walk out this Christian life, it's a display. God gave us the gift of life, and in return, we're thankful, we're grateful, but we lay our life back at his feet. We lay our lives, our talents, our treasure, our giftings, each and every one of you gifted by God in a special way, you lay them at the feet of Jesus. That's how we honor him, and that's how we worship our King. I challenge you tonight that if you're here, you've seen Jesus. You've seen it in the church and you believe in him. But I challenge you that if you have not said yes yet to follow this supernatural display, would you be like the wise men today? I'm asking everyone to grab the hand of the person next to you tonight. Some of you are surrounded by family. Some of you are surrounded by friends. If you would, let's bow our heads tonight and close our eyes. And if you know Jesus and you've already accepted him, you can say a prayer of thanksgiving. But if you want to accept Christ tonight on this Christmas Eve, I'd love to lead you in the prayer of salvation so that you'll know that tonight, if it's your last night on this earth, that you will have said yes and accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Will you pray with me? Say, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe in you. And I believe that you died and rose again just for me. You thought I was worth it. And now I will follow you. I give my life, my actions, my words, and my life to you. All of my days, I'll follow you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now I'm gonna ask that all of you would stand to your feet tonight. I felt that in the book of Isaiah, the prophet tells us that Jesus, the light of the world, would bring good news to the poor, that he would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to the captives, and release the prisoners from darkness. He would comfort those who mourn, and he would give us beauty for our ashes. Trust me, we all have some ashes. The one who would give us joy instead of mourning, and he would give us a garment of praise in the place of despair. Church, I believe that Christmas set the stage for miracles. Tonight's not just a service where we come to remember Jesus, the baby in a manger, but we remember what Jesus, the baby in the manger, represented. And it meant freedom. It meant healing from sickness and disease. It meant that anxiety and despair, loneliness, depression, financial instability, the brokenhearted could come and receive healing. I'm going to ask you tonight that if you're sick in your body, that you would lay your hand upon your body tonight, wherever that sickness is, wherever you've been hurting, wherever you've been ailing. If it's your mind that deals with anxiety or depression, then lay your hand on your mind. Maybe it's a loved one that you know, because everything you need's already been met. That's something else to be grateful for tonight. But if not, put that loved one in your mind. And this prayer is for them. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, your church comes before you. And Father, we speak right now, Father, to sickness and disease. And we command it to leave our bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, for you said, forget not all of my benefits. Father, you sent your word and healed our disease, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Father, I thank you, Lord. We break the power of depression and anxiety and that loneliness tonight, Father. Right now, those who have lost loved ones that are grieving and mourning, Father, I thank you that you pour the oil of joy upon their life right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Father, for those children that have not come home to know Christ yet. Father, that they would not take their last breath before they would come to know you as their personal Savior. I thank you that addictions are being broken tonight in the name of Jesus. Whether it's cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, sexual addictions, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for a renewed mind. Those that are mentally bound with sickness and disease of the mind, I break your power in the name of Jesus, and I command you to loose them and set the captive free in the name of Jesus. I speak to financial situations across this church. Father, I thank you that you said that if we would give, it would be given back to us, pressed down and shaken together. that men and women would give unto our bosoms. Father, that we would have the strength to give out of our need. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for our Christmas holiday. Father, as we celebrate with friends and family tomorrow, Father, that you would be with us, that you would be among us, that your Spirit would fill our homes with gladness and joy and cheerfulness. And Father, that we would not forget the true meaning of the Christmas gifts, the lights, and the tree. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated as we take communion tonight.
I know you're probably wondering what I have in my hands here. Well, I was doing some investigating on the Christmas tree this week. How many of you just kind of look over your tree every now and then? You know, I mean, there's lots of stuff on there. There's some pretty neat things on there. Then there's some pretty ugly things on there. We keep those ugly things on there because it's the things that kids brought home from school that they made. We got to put them on there for a while. Oh, honey, it's so beautiful. Well, I was looking over mine this week, and I found this one here that our oldest daughter, Alexis, when we first did her first handprint way back in 1999. Wow, her hand's a lot bigger today. But this is so special. And it's just a great thing to remember her by. Then I was looking over the tree, and I found this little ornament, and this one was our second son, Lincoln. He made this back in 2016, and I don't know what's on the front of it. It's some weird drawing of something. It almost looks like a fish. I don't know. But he signed it, LPW 2016. It's cute. He did a good job. I'm really proud of him. Then I found this one, and this is from our third son, and that was Quentin. And he had done this way back in 2012. He decorated the clear bulb, and then Nicole took what he wanted for Christmas. He made his own little list with his own handwriting. She shrunk it and put it in the globe so we could always remember what he wanted way back from 2012. Wanted an iPod and some mini race cars and whatever Flash Rider bikes are, Power Wing something. Yeah, but it's a great memory, you know, and it just helps us remember what our kids were like and what they wanted and how special they are. Well, listen, communion is just like this. It's like these ornaments. It's about remembering. It's about remembering. And, you know, Jesus, he was born in a little town called Bethlehem. And what's interesting to me is Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. Huh, that's pretty interesting. House of bread. Later on in his ministry in I think it was John chapter 6, verse 36. He calls himself the bread of life. Well, I thought that was interesting also. Why would he do that? Well, when you get to know a little bit about Jesus, you know that he is the only thing that can sustain us and that will sustain us in this life. Out of everything in the world, he is it, if you choose him. Yeah, and the thing about Jesus is this: he didn't come to earth with riches or power. He didn't take his first breath in a palace. He took his first breath in a manger. He came to the earth for you and me. For you and me. He came to the earth for the broken, the hurting, the powerless, the weary, the broken, the rich, the poor, for all of us. And what's crazy is he gave himself fully for us. Gave himself up completely. Didn't withhold anything for you and I. So, as we take communion today, as we look at this bread that represents his broken body, and this juice that represents the blood that he shed for you and I, let's remember, because of this, we have life. Life. And not just here on this earth, but eternal life as well. Wow. You know, I think I said Sunday that when you're born, you're never going to die. You're alive forever and ever and ever. It's just, where are you going to be alive forever and ever and ever at? And if you said what Pastor Nicole said earlier and you repented and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, you know, that means we turn from what we were doing. Yeah, we're saved, but now if you want to make him Lord of your life, then you got to understand what he did for you and I. Turn, start walking the other direction and live differently. And appreciate what he did here. So as we take communion tonight, let's not just remember what he did, but why he did it. And that is a very simple yet complex question or answer, I should say. And that's because he loved us. And he still loves us. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter your background, he loves you and me. And he did all this while we were yet in sin. Wow. Can't say that about nobody else. Can't say that about any other God. He's the one true living God. And that's why we take communion tonight. He said, when you do this, remember. So open up your bread tonight. Lift it up to heaven. Father, oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the plan to redeem man, the plan to deal with sin in our life. We thank you for this broken body, oh, that gave us healing, healing mentally, physically, and spiritually. We will never forget what you've done until you come. We thank you for it. That's all we can give you is our thanks. In Jesus' name, thank you for this broken body. Amen. Break it and eat it. Take the cup. Oh, Father, again, thank you. Thank you for the shed blood. Oh, it cried. It cries out. Sanctification, justification, cleansing. Oh, it cries so many things. Protection. Thank you for this blood. All of our sins are washed away, never to be remembered again. Oh, we thank you. Thank you for relationship because of this blood with you. We'll never forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink.
We join together tonight. Some of your favorite part of the service tonight. I don't know how to choose which is my favorite. Today I read to you Matthew, the 5th chapter, 14th and 16th verse through. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." We're going to start our candlelight tonight. We're going to do it a little different this year.
Yes, we are.
We have a lamp set on a stand. That's a pretty big candle.
Has anybody seen a candle any bigger than that?
No.
It's pretty good.
We're going to ask the one member from each family, if you would, to come up and get a light for your family and take it back while we sing a couple Christmas carols. through our candlelight.
like how we had that little child screaming like maybe baby Jesus was doing? We don't know what he was doing. It may not have been a silent night.
Maybe not.
You know, we have no clue.
Maybe not.
Well, this concludes our Christmas Eve service. I hope that we want you to have a great Christmas Eve with all your family and friends, and a safe Christmas Eve as well. So we love you all, and we're praying for you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That light should never go out.
I'm not doing it.